Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The title of my message today is simply, Remember. Remember. I'm reading, beginning at verse 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, as we consider our Lord speaking to the nation of Israel, imploring them to remember. To remember. Verse 10, And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou filledest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd work in our hearts today. Help us, dear Father, to understand how important it is to know and to remember what you have done for us, what you have done for the nation of Israel, what you have done for the church, what you have done for the Gentile nations of this earth. Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts this morning to remember, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to read verse 12 again. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I think it's important for us to understand and know that our Lord was reminding the children of Israel for something that would happen yet future. They had not made it yet into the promised land to speak. But here he warns them before they go in and before they enjoy all the benefits of the land that flowed with milk and honey, that they be careful, that they do not forget, but rather remember where they came from. They had come from Egypt. They had come in times of bondage, and God had delivered them into a land that he had prepared for them. Notice what he says about this land. He said, whenever you come into houses full of good things which you didn't fill, wells dug which you didn't dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you didn't plant. And when you have eaten and have been full, what's going to be the tendency? To forget. I think we can say that about the United States of America. Not about everyone in the United States, but about many of them who carelessly forget why we have Memorial Day weekend. Why do we celebrate Memorial Day? On May the 30th, 1868, Ulysses S. Grant presided over the first Memorial Day ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery, which until 1864 had been the home of General Robert E. Lee. Some 5,000 people attended on a spring day, which the New York Times reported was somewhat too warm for comfort. The principal speaker was a man by the name of James A. Garfield. Anybody know that name? At that particular time, he had just been a Civil War general, Republican congressman from Ohio, an ordained minister, and future president. This is what he said at that event there at Arlington National Cemetery. I am oppressed with a sense of the impropriety of uttering words on this occasion. Garfield began and then continued to utter them. If silence is ever golden, it must be beside the graves of 15,000 men whose lives were more significant than speech and whose death was a poem the music of which can never be sung. He would continue on speaking for another 2 hours after he uttered those words, and people sat in silence as they weighed the the words that he had to share about the great and significant cost of those men. As the song, speeches, and sermons ended, the participants helped to decorate the graves of the Union and Confederate soldiers that were buried in the cemetery. Memorial Day, as Americans have come to know it, knew it then as Decoration Day. It was a day to decorate with flowers and flags the graves of fallen soldiers and remember those who had given, as Lincoln beautifully had said, the last full measure of devotion to defend their nation. It was a day to remember what the honored dead had died to defend. A century and a half has passed since Lee surrendered to Grant at Appomattox, effectively ending a national nightmare that filled over 625,000 American graves with dead soldiers. Since then, other international nightmares have ravaged the world and put more than 650,000 additional Americans into war graves in Europe, North Africa, the Pacific Rim, Asia, and the Middle East. When I was in the Philippines in 2018, I visited the American Cemetery in Manila, one of the most moving events in my life. There are granite walls that surround the central portion. It's in a big circular memorial that have every name of every person that died that's buried in that graveyard. As I was walking along, I went to the A spot and I began going through the names and so forth. And then I came across a man by the name of Jeremiah Brainerd. I had never heard of that name before, but he had died in the Pacific Rim and his body had been brought to Manila and buried there. I tried to find his grave among the 35,000 that were there and I did not find it, but I saw his name etched there, spelled the same way my last name is, A-R-D. And I couldn't help but think, I'd never have read about a Jeremiah Brainerd, but there was a Jeremiah Brainerd who grew up in the United States and went to the Pacific to fight in a war. And he gave his life. And his body was carried back to a cemetery in the Philippines, far, far away from his family, far, far away from the folks that would have known him or remembered him. But there's a little stone somewhere in that cemetery that's dedicated. There are crosses and stones all throughout that area that's dedicated to his memory because he gave the last full measure of devotion. That was just one name among 35,000 names inscribed in the granite that are in that circular memorial. The rolling hills of Manila, it's such a beautiful, beautiful place. And the American Marine Corps stands guard at the entranceway. When we went into the gate there, we got out of the vehicle. We had to be searched before we went in there. And the Marine guard that was there says, you are to abide by all rules relative to this cemetery. You are to make no sounds. You are to make no noises. You are to reflect upon the men and women who gave their lives and the Filipino Americans who gave their lives in World War II that are buried in this cemetery. Stern, straight, in other words, show respect. My heart is grieved at what we see happening in the United States of America. Very little respect for the American cause. All the things that we know and grew up with in America are being questioned and little by little torn down by people who have never sacrificed 1 ounce of blood to maintain liberty. And those that do, police officers who go into a scene where guns are being fired. George Floyd one-year memorial was held this week and a reporter was at the end of the street reporting and all of a sudden gunshots were being fired, dozens of them, and he ran. And in the behind them, you could see the camera focusing in. Behind them, police officers were seen running down that street while the gunfire was going on. Thankfully, no one was killed that I'm aware of in that hail of bullets that went on. But there were police officers that were running into the fight, not running away like everybody else. You see, folks, there are some things that are worth dying for. It almost seems weird to say that today, because we live in a society that says all we have is to live for everything. But there are some things that are worth dying for. And we're not communicating those things to our kids today. We're not communicating those things to our college students today. Where college used to be a time of meaningful debate and instruction and learning, now it's playtime and drinking time. Where we're drunk every weekend, binge drinking, partying, playing, and not learning one thing about liberty and freedom. It's disturbing to me. And there are some that are in denial of this, but I think it's important for us to understand that every nation can go down the same pathway of forgetting. Did Israel remember? Does Israel today remember what God did for her? Oh, they have celebrations. They celebrate the Feast of Purim and the deliverance of the Jews during that particular time in history, and they will remember certain events from the past. But Israel is an extremely liberal nation. They've had LGBTQ rights for the last 35 years. It's just coming into this country now, but they've been doing that for years. Extremely liberal in their philosophies. I want to tell you something. They deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Messiah of Israel. They forgot. They forgot. They do not remember, and beyond do not remember, they will not remember. And that's why in the Minor Prophets, and then you see in the book of Isaiah, when it describes the day when Israel will look upon Him whom they have crucified and will declare Him to be Jesus, the Messiah. What an unbelievable day that will be, because they have spent the last 2,000 years rejecting Him, forgetting Him. You know, the United States of America had a very interesting foundation. It was founded on the principles of the Bible, God's Word. When the pilgrims came over here, they were seeking basically one thing. They were not thinking, hey, let's go on a cruise. Let's get on a cruise ship and cruise across the Atlantic and go over to America and we'll start a new life over there and have fun. 50. Half of the people died the first winter. Okay? They gave their lives in the search for what? Liberty, freedom. To worship God according to conscience. That's why they came. Yes, they had persecution, but they could not worship God without having to go into hiding. Two or three at a time to show up at William Brewster's house to have a prayer meeting and to have worship service, and then they would slip off in the darkness of 4 o'clock in the morning. And then another two or three people would be seen walking up and they'd have another service, multiple services over several days, so they could minister the Word of God to people that wanted to grow. They wanted to honor God. And they said, let's go. Let's go to America. They first went to Holland, but they were losing their kids to the world there. And they said, let's go to America and we'll start from scratch. Did it cost them? Yes, it did. It cost them dearly. But they remembered their Lord. They remembered their Lord. The early foundings of our nation is riddled with scripture that was read in Philadelphia at the Continental Congress as they were forming and writing the Constitution, 1787. 1789 are huge years when the Constitution was finally ratified. But there's a lot of things missing in that Constitution. There's a lot of things missing because they accepted God's Word as being the foundation for that. And then they built the Constitution. But people look back and say, see, there's no scripture verses in there. So we weren't founded as a Christian nation. No, they accepted God's Word as the foundation for everything. The three branches of government are based on the book of Isaiah. God is our lawgiver. He is our king. He is our judge. Three branches of government. Legislative, executive, and judicial. From the Word of God. There are literally tons of scripture that were used as foundations for why they wanted to do certain things. Freedom of religion. Not freedom of worship. Freedom of religion. An unheard of concept. You're not guilty. You're innocent until proven guilty. They were guilty until proven innocent in England. But it was just a simple principle of God's Word that they applied as they founded a nation. Number one, I want to leave you with this thought. I've got three things here. Number one, remembering is always for the future. Think about this. Remembering the past and the present is always for the future. I'm so thankful that I grew up in a Christian home and I had the benefit of attending a Christian school. I look back and I thank God every day that I had that privilege. There were things that I was taught at Santa Rosa Christian School that come to my mind just about every day of the week. You want to know why it's important to rear your children with a Christian understanding? Because it's life transformative. It'll help you to think straight when everybody else is thinking wrong. Well, that's an egotistical thing to say. No, it's not. When you think according to the Bible, you're thinking God's way. Nothing egotistical about that. Where's the world at today? Oh, I want to tell you something. We're watching wreckage of lives piling up all across America because this book has been rejected. You see, remembering is always for the future. Memorial Day is an important national moment. It is a day to do more than barbecue. It is a right and a wise way to remember the great price that many have paid to preserve the historically unprecedented civil and religious freedoms that you and I enjoy today, and which many people often take for granted. But the importance of Memorial Day is more for our future than it is for our past. And just like God encouraged the children of Israel, when you benefit from things that you did not do, right? You think about a child growing up. We moved Brian out this week. Brian's now in his house. And I cleaned out his bedroom and we loaded it up in trucks and took it all over to his place. And that was a big to-do. We had done it once before when Gregory moved out. I was going to say kicked out, but moved out. And no. And, moving out a second one. And I walked in there last night and the room's kind of empty. Been filled with Brian for the last 23 years, all right? I'm going to start crying here in just a moment. I'll try to avoid that if I can. But I was thinking about all the memories, you know. The little boy come running out in his, Bob the Builder outfit with his boots on and his little jeans and his T-shirt and his hard hat, you know. And the memories start flooding in, and then I remember all those come to Jesus meetings that we had. And then I remember, the different events that went through school and getting out of school, going back to school, summer times, all those things start flooding in. Remembering. We've talked a lot. You know, we were remembering, we were over at his house yesterday, we remembered some of the things that we did when we were younger and so forth like that. It's a blessing to remember, is it not? Remembering is for the future. You know why I know things about my grandparents and my great-grandparents is because my daddy and mom taught me about them. I would not know about them except for my parents. Ancestry.com sent me a leaf this week. All right? We've got another potential connection for you. So I go on Ancestry.com and read a little bit about something that was posted up about Charles Scythe Brainerd, my grandfather. And they had a picture of the 1940 census in Perry, Ohio. And there I saw my dad's name and my Uncle Ronnie's name and my Aunt Joyce's name on the census with Charles and Ruth Brainerd, to see their handwriting from way back in 1940. Now, folks, remembering is for the future. And if you don't remember God and you don't remember His Word and you don't remember the truths of God's Word, you're in trouble, because you'll have nothing to cling to in the future. One of the greatest blessings of my life is going down to the convalescent center for years, 30-something years. I hadn't been there since February of 2020 because of the closure, and they're not getting back to normal quite yet. For that, we'll allow family members to go in. They're allowing some to go in now. We'll probably in 2022 we'll restart that ministry if we can. But going in there, opening a hymn book, Aunt Carolyn playing the piano, and those folks singing along, can't see, but they've got the songs right here, the hymns of their childhood, singing along with us, some of them singing in part, some of them singing out of tune, but they know the words. You know why? Because they were taught as children, and they remember. Remembering is always for the future. Isn't it interesting that when you get older, your short-term memory goes first, but you still have what? Long-term memory. You remember things years ago. You can't remember what you had for breakfast, but you can remember what happened, you know, 20 years ago, 25, 30, 50. Next year will be my 40th class reunion, high school. Wow, 40 years. I don't look like I'm 40 years older. Oh, wait a minute. I do. Yeah, 40 years went by really quick. When I stood right up here on this stage, I was the N1 right over here, and called my name, and we went across and we got our diplomas. Mr. Woods was standing there, gray-headed. He doesn't look a whole lot different than he did back then, because we put a lot of gray hairs on his head during high school. But I remember that day just like it was yesterday. One of these days, I won't remember where I put my shoes. I won't know the names of people, perhaps, that are in my circle. I told you about the fellow that spoke to me the other day, asked about his dad, how he was doing. He said, "Daddy has dementia. Daddy doesn't remember who we are now." Isn't that sad? Doesn't remember anybody. They grew up together. They have all these memories, but they can't share it because their mind is battling dementia. But we have the privilege to remember for the future. I want to give you two more. Number two, remembering keeps us rooted. Remembering keeps us rooted. Let me tell you something. There's something to be said about being set. There are people that change with the years, and they change their thinking patterns, and they conform to every little thing that comes along from the world because they want to fit with the world. But I want to tell you something about remembering God. It will keep you rooted if you remember. God deliver us from the world, because the world, if you will allow it, will pull you up one root at a time from those things that you ought to remember. You better get your heart and mind set on the things of God. Christians of all people understand the critical importance of remembering, because Christians are memorial people, because of the whole of our faith depending upon remembering. This book is a remembrance of God's Word. Do you understand that? This is a remembrance that's been passed down from generation to generation. I have some old Bibles that belong to our family members from the 1800s. got their names written in the front. I've got my grandmother's Bible, has the obituary inside the Bible of my grandfather that died the night I was born. She has the obituary and the birth announcement that was in that Bible. It's a special Bible to me, but it's a book of remembrance. Because it not only has things in there about our lives, but it has everything we need to know about God that He's revealed to us. It's a book of remembrance. We're memorial people. We are to remember that God has shared with us His revelation. And I dare not forget. I dare not forget. Those who persevere into the glorious future are those who remember God's gracious past. That's why God has surrounded us with memorials. The entire Bible itself is a memorial. We meditate on it daily to remember. The Sabbath was a memorial of what? Of God's creative power. And it was also a day that the Israelites were to remember God, the one who delivered them. The Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. We switch to Sundays in the New Testament as a memorial of what? Christ's resurrection. To remember that we don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a living Christ. Amen? Oh, I want to tell you something. Every time we come to church on Sunday, and when you miss a Sunday, when you can't come because of sickness, or maybe you just decided not to come to church, you're missing out on the remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So important, folks. What kind of a pattern are you establishing for your children? Are you establishing a pattern of remembering or forgetting? Forgetting God because we're careless, or remembering God because we're careful? Number three, remembering God's past grace and His present grace is necessary to fuel our desire for His future grace for us. We still have future grace ahead of us. Amen? When that trumpet sounds, and the dead in Christ rise first, and we that are alive and remain are caught up together, that's a manifestation of grace! Because I'm being delivered from the wrath to come. Not only that, but I have the promise of an eternity with my Savior. That's grace. Nothing else. It's grace. And so I have to remember what God has done and what He is doing and what He will yet do. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, that great passage of Scripture that reveals the rapture truth at the very end, says in verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of," say it please, "grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, these passages of Scripture show God's grace past, present, but the grace of God, I am what I am in the present. "And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." That was in the past. And then he says, "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And then he says, "Let us boldly come before Him and seek grace in time of need," past, present, and future. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 6:1, "We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Don't fail the grace of God. You see, remembering takes us back to past grace. Remembering helps us to keep in mind the grace that we're enjoying, but remembering also sets the stage for future grace. Do you long for His future grace? You better remember what He's done in the past, because that helps you to appreciate the grace that He bestows now and yet in the future. So important. The fact that we are here this morning a free people, reminds us of the grace of God that was extended to us as a nation with the defeat of Imperial Japan and Nazi Germany. That deliverance in time of world war was a remarkable extending of God's grace to us as a people. But there were many others that died way before World War II. I'm reading through a book entitled Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers by Brian Kilmeade. And there is a letter that is in the archives of the history of the state of Texas. You can go there in Austin, Texas, and you can see this handwritten note by Lieutenant Colonel William Barrett Travis, who was the first one to die at Alamo. He took a bullet to the forehead. He had gone up on the parapet of the now famous portion of the bell tower of the Alamo. He had gone up on the parapet to take a look to see where the enemy was in relationship to where he should move his troops, and he took a bullet to the forehead. He was the first one to die. But this was a letter that he wrote to America. To the people of Texas and all Americans in the world, fellow citizens and compatriots, I am besieged by 1,000 or more Mexicans under Santa Anna. I have sustained a continual bombardment and cannonade for 24 hours and have not lost a man. The enemy has demanded a surrender at discretion. Otherwise, the garrison are to be put to the sword if the fort is taken. I have answered the demand with a cannon shot, and our flag still waves proudly from the walls. I shall never surrender or retreat. Then I call on you in the name of liberty, of patriotism, and everything dear to the American character to come to our aid with all dispatch. The enemy is receiving reinforcements daily and will no doubt increase to 3,000 or 4,000 in 4 or 5 days. If this call is neglected, I am determined to sustain myself as long as possible and die like a soldier who never forgets what is due to his own honor and that of his country, victory or death. William Barrett Travis, Lieutenant Colonel, Commander. That was his next to last letter that he wrote. His last letter was a note that he gave to a writer to take to his sister, to employ her to take care of his son if his wife was unable to do so, and told her goodbye because he knew that he was going to die because they got word that the troops at Goliad, Texas, would not come. They decided to remain there to defend and wait for Houston to come with his men, who would later take on Santa Anna and win Texas Republic. But I think about what he wrote there and what he was saying and the seriousness of his words. To all the residents of Texas and all Americans. He was calling them to remember, calling them to remember. He died, the first one to die. Jim Bowie also died extremely sick, was near death, dying of some type of tuberculosis, we believe, but was stabbed to death in his cot by Mexicans who came in. Davy Crockett was another one that was there. He was killed. Several men that we know of from that point in time in history died. But that letter that was written by Travis circulated all over the United States. It was printed in newspapers. And people began to rush to Texas to join Sam Houston in the fight for independence. It's an interesting thing. One letter from a man who would die, would be the first to die, stirred their hearts to remember, to remember. I want to close by reading verse 12 again from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God brought forth pilgrims from England, brought them to America, brought them forth out of bondage because that's what they were in. They were in bondage. Many of them had served time in prison simply for doing what? Holding a church service without the approval of the king. You and I are enjoying this fellowship right now. We're going to enjoy a meal together that we take for granted that in the past was illegal. And people gave their lives so that we might enjoy that. Will you not forget our Lord? And will you not forget the price that was paid for our liberty? I want to encourage you today to remember that remembering is for the future. It's for the future. It's for our kids. It's for our grandkids. It's for all those that are here that are young, so that they might know what the past required and may require again. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would stir us up to remember the greatness and the glory of our Lord. Dear Father, I pray that you would teach us to remember. Lord, we see so many things eroding and passing away that people died for: freedom of religion, freedom of speech, things that are a part of our Constitution that are slowly being eroded because we don't remember. We've forgotten. And there are many who have forgotten the truths of your word, carelessly ignoring the Bible day after day, only bringing it when we go to church, but the rest of the week, we just do our own thing. Dear Father, I pray that you would awaken our people to the importance of remembering, and that we would not forget the Lord. We pray now your blessing upon our meal together and upon our conclusion of this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.